from the words of the prophet Jeremiah, and we are turning to chapter number 6 and the verse numbered 16. Just one verse of scripture today on this All Saints Day observance. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. I'll give you just a moment to find that. Thus says the Lord, stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way lies and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. May God bless the reading of God's word. And would you pray with me? And now, Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are indeed my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I don't know if you've ever found yourself at a crossroads, that place having to choose between one direction or another, and the stakes feeling so very high as you stand there. Some of you might remember the movie Castaway, came out a few years back, story of a guy named Chuck Nolan, played by Tom Hanks, FedEx employee. I was looking over, my friend Manny isn't here, he pretty much runs FedEx, he's a part of our congregation. I'm glad he's not here today, because of what I'm about to tell you. Chuck was a man in such bondage to time that he couldn't even schedule a dental appointment. He slept through what little time he had with his girlfriend, was relentlessly driven by his pager, his smartphone, his company motto, when it absolutely, positively has to be there overnight. But then the unthinkable happened. The plane he was on, having been paged to go into work on Christmas Day, no less, that plane crashed, and Chuck miraculously washed up on this remote island, the place where he somehow managed to survive for four unimaginable, excruciating years. It's an experience that would change him from the inside out. A story of such surrender and that death to self thing that allows a person to become alive to God. Until one day, having finally learned to discern time rather than be controlled by it, Chuck set sail on this makeshift raft and is at long last able to leave this place that has held him captive, floats 500 miles until he's picked up by a freighter out in the middle of the ocean and brought home again, only to discover that his whole world has moved on without him. It is a sad, sad movie. I don't know why I like it so much. The film ends with Chuck standing at a crossroads. He's out in the middle of nowhere, finally free of the things that have once held him bondage. It's a moment that's come at such a price, and yet it's because of that price that his freedom rings so true. Well, God is speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, says, stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way lies and walk in it and find rest for your souls. You see, God understands us so completely, knows our tendency to try and control what's not ours to control, so that when change comes into our lives, a loss, a decision that needs to be made, and we can't control the outcome, suddenly we're at a crossroads, right? Find ourselves paralyzed by uncertainty. feeling the illusion that we're in control starting to slip away. Not a fun place to be, that crossroads place. But the good news is that we don't stand in that place alone. God stands with us. And according to this profound verse in Jeremiah, ours is a God who is making a way for us, a way out of the uncertainty and confusion of standing at the crossroads, a way that Jeremiah says starts with a look, then takes a step, and then finds rest. So we're going to rehearse that a little bit. It starts with a look, then takes a, and then finds, you're with me here. First, the look. God says that as we stand at the crossroads, we are to look for the ancient paths where the good way lies. You see, God is calling us to go in a way that's not a new one. It's an old one. It's an ancient one, even. This is the path well worn, a way many have taken long before us. It's what we'll be celebrating at the end of this service with candles on this All Saints Day, remembering the people who have gone before us and pointed our way to God, people who have worn the path for us. There are people like Osceola McCarty, woman from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, if you've ever heard her remarkable story. Until a few years ago, nobody knew Osceola McCarty was a saint. Certainly didn't look like one. She was just an old laundress in the eyes of the world, this old woman who had never married, dropped out of school in the sixth grade to start a lifetime of washing other people's clothes. It was the year her auntie had gotten out of the hospital, couldn't walk, no place to live. And so that beloved auntie moved in with 12-year-old Osceola and her family, meant the girl had to quit school, help her mama and her grandma with the family laundry business, just trying to help make ends meet. And by the time her beloved aunt recovered, over a year later, Osceola had fallen too far behind to go back to school. I was too big, she said, so I just kept on a-working. And for the next 75 years, that's what she did. Scrubbed the dark clothes on a washboard, boiled the whites in a big black pot in her backyard, and then hung them all on the line to dry. Her day started when the sun came up, didn't end till it went down, and it wasn't until she was 87 years old that anybody really knew who Osceola McCarty was. See, that was a year that she gave her life savings, $150,000, to the University of Southern Mississippi. Gave it for scholarships for poor African-American young women like she herself had been. And suddenly reporters and photographers were begging her attention, wondering how she ever managed to do what she did. So curious was the world that she would even receive an honorary doctorate from Harvard University for her legacy. Osceola said that the one question she got more than any other was why she didn't spend the money on herself. Why I am spending it on myself, she would answer, smiling all sly. She'd found the ancient path, don't you see? The one that says that you can keep less and give more and come to know a joy that passes all understanding. And Osceola McCarty went down that path ahead of us, became our blood relative, the same blood of Jesus we followers of Christ have flowing in our veins. The same light we hope to have shining out of us shined out through her. It's where the good way lies. So we look to the ancient path. And then Jeremiah says we walk in it. We take a step. We act. We go for a walk down the path that has been set before us. I got to hang out with a friend of mine on a retreat for middle school kids one weekend, which was such a privilege, and I do mean that, being with young people. You know, middle school, that season of transition from childhood to adolescence and then adulthood, that's not an easy season. And I love being with kids that age because they teach me stuff that I need to know. And my friend was teaching this Bible lesson, gave each of the students a piece of yarn. I think I brought one along here. I stole it from the children's village, actually. So he gave them all a piece of yarn, and he asked them to tie the ends together tight so that they formed a circle. And he began to talk about the vicious circles, the vicious cycles that God's people found themselves in the Old Testament because of their disobedience to God. And so the yarn was that symbol of that vicious circle. And my friend then asked the kids to try and break their circle of yarn. And you can't do it. The yarn's too strong. And so then he held up a pair of scissors. And he told them to let it go slack. I was supposed to bring, little kids' scissors so this would work. But you're not supposed to be able to cut the yarn, when it goes slack. That's how the object lesson was supposed to go. But I got to be careful here because these scissors are like way too sharp. But well, you're with me, right? I mean, you're going to give me a little slack here. So then came the punchline, right? That we have a God who wants to help us break the bonds that hold us. But guess what? God needs our effort to do so. Our commitment to resisting the bondage too. So that we do what we can do and God does what only God can do. And when it's held tight, then it can be broken. Right there. I didn't practice that. It worked pretty good. Can't you give me a little something on that? No. So it's right there. God needs our effort. It's what it means, sort of, to walk in the way and the path that God has set before us. God needs us to step in. It's done in tandem, right? We do our part. God does a part that only God can do. So we look for the ancient path and we take steps to walk in it, to act, and guess what? Our restless souls find rest. That's what. People whose lives have been driven by the clock, people spinning along like Chuck Nolan without ever really connecting to the people around them, people whose lives are dictated by their pagers and by their phones and their schedules and the ticking, relentless taskmaster of the clock, those people find rest for their souls. And I'm asking you this morning, when was the last time that you felt genuinely rested? I mean, really. When was the last time you slept so soundly that you woke up refreshed and restored? Not last night, when you got an extra hour. But on a regular night, rose up to meet the joys and challenges of a new day. Maybe it's so long that you can't really even remember. Maybe you're here this morning and nothing on earth sounds so good to you as those words from Jeremiah chapter 6. Find rest for your soul. A spiritual mentor of mine who is writing a book about this, and she put it this way, that Jeremiah's words suggest that when we walk in God's way, there will be rest in the very core of our being, because God's way and God's love replaces fear, replaces the urge to compare ourselves to other people, compare ourselves for better or for worse, takes that need in us to compare and melts it into humility in the presence of God's love for everybody. There begins this freedom to start seeing our own brokenness, our own giftedness, to begin accepting forgiveness and forgiving others. You see, when we're at home with God, we begin seeing ourselves and our world more and more from the perspective of a loving God, and our source of joy and our source of sorrow becomes that which gladdens and breaks the heart of the holy. And that is rest for our souls. And God's holding out that promise for us this morning, for you this morning. That one right there, for you and for me. Would you pray with me? And as we come before a loving God today, I wonder if you might join me in just praying for the people you're sitting next to. In your mind's eye and in your heart, begin by praying for the person on your right. You might not know this person at all. You might know them very deeply, intimately. Might you just now, for a moment, usher that beloved child of God into the presence of a God who loves him or her without condition. Might you simply pray that this one would begin to look and to see what God is showing them, or that they might take a step down the path God has for them, or that they might begin to know God's rest in their soul. And then if you'd just turn your heart for a moment to the person on your left. Again, this might be somebody that you know deeply. This might be somebody you've only met, but might you, in your heart, usher this beloved child of God into the presence of a God who loves him, loves her, without condition. And pray for a moment that this one would begin to look and to see whatever it is that God's showing them these days. Or that they might take a step down the path that God has for them. Or that they might begin to know God's rest in their soul. And then, having prayed for the person on your right and the person on your left, might you allow the Spirit of God to bring to mind somebody who's not here today? Somebody God has placed on your heart. And you may have a heart that's breaking for this one. But might you, in the power of the Holy Spirit, this morning, bring that one into the presence of a God who loves them without condition. And simply pray that this person who is on your heart would begin to look and to see what God is showing them. Or that they might take a step down the path that God has for them. Or that they might begin to know God's rest in their soul. Lord Jesus, it is such a privilege for us to pray for one another here at Park Avenue this morning, to just hold one another in your presence for a moment. I thank you for my sisters and brothers here, for all the ways that my walk with you is nurtured and encouraged, for you, the ways that they help me to see you, the ways that they desire a soul rest for me in you. Thank you that we can pray for those for whom we are burdened as well today, Lord. Thank you for meeting us here in this service of worship. And thank you for holding out for us an ancient path. In your precious name we pray. Amen.